Let's turn then to Luke chapter 2, and I will read my text to you, which is from the words addressed personally to Mary, Jesus' mother. Verse 35 says, "A sword will pierce through your own soul also." Well, that is quite a strange thing to say to someone who was so blessed as to be the mother of our Lord. Because a little bit earlier on, these words were spoken to the same mother. "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." That was a blessing. But then you have these words, "A sword will pierce through your own soul also." Well, you want God to bless you, don't you? And I want God to bless me. So we're going to look at some of the ways in which Mary was blessed. First of all, "Hail, O favoured one, the Lord is with you." And there are some translations which add, "Blessed are you among women." So that was addressed to Mary by the angel there in Luke chapter 1. And verse 30 goes on to say, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God." You want to find favour with God, don't you? So do I. Mary found it. That was rather wonderful. When you go on to verse 42, you find that Mary is visiting Elizabeth, her kinswoman. And in verse 42, she exclaimed with a loud cry, this is Elizabeth, she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Blessed are you among women." And then in verse 45, "Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." A blessed woman indeed. And this is how she responded in verses 48 and 49. This is Mary speaking now about God. And she says, "God has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name." She was aware of that. And then over in verse 34 of chapter 2, which I read to you a little earlier on, we find the words of Simeon. "Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising of many in Israel." Well, what a blessing. What a blessing. And yet, we read those strange words in verse 35, "And a sword will pierce through your own soul." Now you find people, and I've come across them, and you've perhaps come across them, people who say, "Well, I used to be a Christian. I used to follow the Lord." I even know a young man who, well, he was young when I knew him. He was in the same church youth group that I was in my teens, and we were both converted at about the same time, and he obeyed the Lord and went into the ministry. And then things in his life went wrong. And he said, I don't believe in God. And he left the ministry and he left the faith. And we were in touch recently. I just contacted him and see how things were. He has no faith now, unless he's changed since our exchange. But he had no faith. He had turned away from God, almost as if he felt there was a kind of deal between him and God. God, if I serve you, I expect you to bless me and keep me from trouble. I certainly don't expect a sword to pierce my soul. Well, what happened to Mary, this highly favoured and greatly blessed woman? Well, we'll see what happened to her. We'll go to Matthew 1 and verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine the gossip there would have been in the village? What would they have been saying about her? What did she have to put up with? I don't know now what it's like in Rose, but what would it have been like, shall we say, 100 years ago in Rose, if a girl had become pregnant and was not married? Would there have been gossip? There must have been people thinking that she had been up to no good, and we can only imagine it. How did her fiancé react? Being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, that was good of him, wasn't it? That was good. He resolved to divorce her quietly. Engagement was a stronger thing. So although they're not yet married, it's called divorce. It was a strong arrangement, you see. But as he considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Even her fiancé didn't believe in her until he had an angel come and tell him to have faith in the woman he loved. Then we go on to Matthew chapter 2 and verse 13. When they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there till I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt. Can you imagine the fear that she felt and the uncertainty of having to leave home in a situation where the king wanted to kill her son? What kind of a fear? How must she have felt despite the promise that she'd had from God? And then we come on to verse 16. Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, was in a furious rage, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old and under. And Mary had to live with the knowledge that because of her family, all these other families had been bereaved. How did she feel about that? I don't know. I can't imagine it, but it must have been a burden to her. And what about if she met the other mothers? And what if word got out, our boy died because you had that son? I don't know how she felt, but it just must have been awful. And then all the wanderings, verse 19. When Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Rise, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. And he rose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. So there they are wandering. But he was afraid to go to Judea, it says. When he heard that Archelaus reigned over Judea, he was afraid to go there. Being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. So they didn't even end up where they thought they were going to go. All those wanderings. And then Luke 2. Let's come back to Luke 2. This is all happening to the woman that God said and the angel said and Simeon said was going to be specially blessed. You get to Luke chapter 2 and verse 48. When they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so?" This is when he's 12 and he's in the temple discussing things with the learned men and they don't know where he is. "Behold, your father and I have been looking for you anxiously." And he said to them, "How is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying which he spoke to them. That growing distance. Now he's on the brink of adolescence and then later on it will be adulthood. And this woman who had this really special child with such blessing from God, she's aware there's a distance growing and she no longer understands. And when you get on to John chapter 2 and you come to the marriage in Cana where Jesus wrought his first miracle, Jesus was invited to the marriage with his disciples. And when the wine failed, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "O woman, what have you to do with me? My hour has not yet come." That growing distance and that fact that Jesus says to her, basically, these miracles and this kind of thing, it's not yet my time. And there's that growing lack of understanding and that distance. And one other, you get to Mark chapter 3 and verse 32. "And a crowd was sitting about him, and they said to him, 'Your mother and your brothers are outside asking for you.' And he replied, 'Who are my mother and my brothers?' And looking around on those who sat about him, he said, 'Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother.'" I know it's normal. I know it happens possibly to nearly every family. The children grow up and they take their own way. But she had to experience that. When you get to Mark chapter 3 and verse 21, look what they're saying about him. "When his friends heard it, they went out to seize him, for they said, 'He's beside himself.'" He's beside himself. "And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, 'He's possessed by Beelzebul, and by the prince of demons, he casts out the demons.'" People are saying that he's mad or that he's devil possessed. How does a mother feel when her son is publicly criticized, even if it's not true, things being said? This sword is already beginning to pierce her heart, surely. John chapter 7, what about the rest of the family? John chapter 7, verse 5, "Even his brothers did not believe in him." So here you've got Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. And even the brothers don't believe in him. Not got that family unity. And then she experiences what, again, many, many women have to experience. John chapter 19, verse 26. She's on the cross now. "When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing near, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' Then he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. Where was Joseph? Well, obviously, he must have died. And this woman, so blessed of God, now she's a widow. And why didn't her other sons and daughters, which we read about in the Gospel, why didn't they look after her? We don't know. And then one of the worst things, verse 25 of John 19, so the soldiers did this, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, and so on. She saw her own son die. And they do say that that is one of the worst things for anyone to have to endure, that their children die before they do. And that's what happened to this woman who said that she was so blessed, and whom others, who others said was so blessed. On verse 34 of John 19, but one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. Do you think that's what Simeon might have been referring to? Or certainly, do you think that might be a word that came to her mind when she saw her own son pierced with a spear? Wonder if she remembered those words of Simeon, a sword will pierce your own soul. We don't know how she felt, but that was a woman blessed by God. And so one thing I would say to you and to myself, if you or I have troubles, it does not mean that God hates you, or God has forgotten you, or God has turned against you. Your faith in Christ is not a bargain with God that if you're a good Christian, he'll let you off trouble. This woman was highly blessed, but she went through all of that. Now, let's go back to looking at this woman a little more. And we go back to Luke chapter 1 and verse 38. Luke chapter 1 and verse 38. She says, behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And she didn't know everything that was going to happen. And when you said yes to Jesus Christ as your Lord, as I hope you've all done, you didn't know, and you still don't know, and I don't know what the future holds. But I still want to have the attitude that Mary had. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Whatever God has in store, let it be according to his word. She didn't know in advance what it was going to involve. And as I say, neither do you, neither do I, if we say to God, I will obey you. Chapter 2 and verse 19 says this. Mary kept all these things, pondering them in her heart. Now, it is possible when God blesses you to go around either openly boasting or simply dropping hints about what a blessed person you are, how God favours you, what wonderful spiritual experiences you've had, how God has used you. And you can become boastful by making it known. Mary didn't do that. She just quietly kept these things in her heart and pondered them. And I believe that that is what we should do. If God blesses you, people will see, people will notice. You don't have to tell them, they'll see. This man, this woman is blessed of God. They're walking with God. They will sense it about you. We keep these things and we ponder them in our heart. So that should be part of our attitude as well. And so in the light of all that we've read about Mary, we need to say to God, Lord, let it be to me according to your will. Now, if you had been brought up as an English Methodist, as I was, you would have said these words once a year, and they encapsulate what I was trying to say. It comes from the annual covenant service that Methodists have. We stand pledged to live no more unto ourselves, but to him who loved us and gave himself for us and has called us so to serve him that the purposes of his coming might be fulfilled. This taking of his yoke upon us means that we are heartily content that he appoint us our place and work. That's what Mary said. That's what you and I need to say. Amen.